Amen. If you would turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1 as we work on the concluding part of this chapter. Our scripture reading is going to be from verse 19 to 27. Though we'll focus particularly on 19 through 21. And after the reading of the word, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. Let us please stand together for the reading of God's holy word. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, the first large portion of James 1 has been about trials and making it through trials and some of the perils along the way. And one of the things that keeps us moving forward in our Christian lives, of course, is the Word of God. It's worshiping God, but it's the preaching of the Word. It's the reading and the listening in the hearing of the word, and the passage before us this morning is particularly focused on listening to the word of God. I have the sermon titled, How to Listen to a Sermon, and so hopefully that'll teach you how to listen to a sermon, but it really applies more generally. How do you listen to the word of God and the importance of that? And so there's two basic things I want to direct your thoughts to this morning. Listening to the word and receiving the word and what those things mean. In verse 19, he says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And there are points on the communication that goes on between us as individuals that I'm going to probably refer to, but my focus is primarily on the word. When he says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Now, that's really very important among our communications with one another. Because the problem is we're too busy thinking about what we're going to say next, or we're too busy thinking about what we're quick not to listen, but we're quick to speak. In a minute, he's going to say to be slow to speak. We're not quick to listen. The communication that goes on between us would go on so much better if we took the time just to pay attention to what the other person's saying. But in the context of this is the Word of God. He's spoken to us about the Word of God. He's going to continue to speak to us about the Word of God. And one of the things that's very, very important is we have to be quick to listen to the Word of God. If you look at verse 18, the Word of God begins our Christian life. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Paul says something similar. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so we become Christians by listening to the word, and we continue on in our Christian life by the word of God. And what we're called on here to do is to listen, to be attentive to it, to pay attention. You can listen either to a sermon or listen in your reading of your word in a kind of a disinclined way, kind of indifferent, disinterested, superficial, and it won't have an impact on your heart and your life. One commentator makes the comment, he says, it is possible to be unfailingly regular in Bible reading, but to achieve no more than to have moved the bookmark forward. This is reading unrelated to an attentive spirit. The word is read, but it's not heard. On the other hand, if we can develop an attentive spirit, this will spur us on to create those conditions, a proper method in Bible reading, a discipline of time, and so on, by which the spirit will find itself satisfied in hearing the word of God. And so the question I put before you is, when you either read the word or when you're here to a sermon, are you really listening? Or are you thinking about what you got to do tomorrow, or what you're going to have to do to finish getting dinner ready on the table when you get home, or you're sitting here thinking about, you know, that other person who isn't here, who needs to be here to listen to this. What is it that's getting in the way of your listening? But the second thing is just as important. It says, brothers, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, this is very important in our, again, in our communication with one another, because we're too busy talking to have good communication with one another. We're interested in what we have to say, so we don't take the time to listen to what they're having to say. So if you're having conflict with somebody, you need to think about, are you really listening to them? Are you slow to speak? Or are you slow to listen and quick to speak? But when it comes to the word of God, we have to be the same thing. We have to be quick to listen, slow to speak. Now you're saying, well, this is a monologue. I'm here talking and you're listening. How can you be ready to speak? But the way you get ready to speak is when you're getting ready to respond to the word of God and to contradict the word of God, or to object to it, or to argue with it and say, well, that's fine for someone else, but that's not fine for me. And we get our mouths moving before we've got the whole load in our ears to hear. And there's a couple of very convicting passages in Scripture I want to take you to that talk about we need to be quiet before God's word. Turn first to Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40, it's come to the point in the book of Job, and Job could be a very confusing book to you. It can be in the interchange and so forth, but when we finally come to the end, God is confronting Job. Job, a righteous man, has been afflicted much, and even Job has contended with God. And in Job chapter 40, we have God's confrontation with Job, part of it. And the Lord said to Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. Then Job answered the Lord, I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. See, God speaks to us in his word, and we contend with the Almighty and say, God, that's not fair. That I shouldn't have to go through that. Why are they blessed and I'm not? And on it goes. And we speak, and we haven't listened. And the Almighty says to us, I'm God Almighty. Who are you to contend with me? Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It's a passage I use sometimes in weddings, sometimes in passages when we're talking about vows that people make. But it would apply to our listening to God's word. Very searching and convicting words. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Says, guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, you are on earth, so let your words be few. As a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And do not protest to the temple messenger, my vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. When you and I come to the Word of God, it's not you and I that's judging the Word, it's the Word that's judging us. So it's very important that we be quick to listen and we shut up and keep our mouth closed and listen to what God's trying to say and quit arguing with it. Quit trying to explain it away. Quit trying to put words in God's mouth that he's in his holy temple. Habakkuk says, let all the earth be silent before him. We need to listen to him. We need to listen to what he says. This is not in any way a rebuke of our prayers or crying out to God to ask for understanding or any of those sorts of things. But the problem is when we have an idea of how things ought to be, and when God says things that don't agree with our ideas, then our ideas get in the way. And we try to tell God how he ought to conduct things. God says, I'm God and you're not. Listen to me. Hear my wisdom. Hear my words. And then the third thing that James says, so you can come back to James 1:19. Brothers, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. And he goes on to say, because man's anger does not promote the righteousness that God requires. Our anger gets in the way. And you see the connection here. And this is the same thing in our interpersonal communication. If we're quick to speak and slow to listen, and then when they say something, we get angry, all of that's going to clog the communication. And we're not going to hear each other. We're not going to communicate well with each other. And there's going to be problems. The same thing is true in our listening to the Word of God. If we're not quick to listen, not slow to speak, when God does speak, we're going to get mad. How dare God say that? How dare he say, count it all joy when you come into trials of various kinds? What a ridiculous thing for God to say. And we'll get angry about it. We'll get frustrated with it. The commentator again talks about if we do not have an attentive ear in the ordinary circumstances of life, we do not become different people when we shut the door and open the Bible. We must cultivate in the whole area of our life the virtues and practices which will pay dividends when we turn our minds to God and his word. He's saying if we're bad communicators in life, we're going to be bad listeners to the word. We must, in particular, have a readiness to hear, a control of our speech, and an abhorrence of anger. anger closes the doors of the ears. And when we're listening to the Word of God, and we don't like it when people correct us and rebuke us. So when God corrects us and rebukes us, we get defensive. But God, I'm doing the best I can. We get angry and we get frustrated. We get upset with Him and the ears close. We don't hear what God is saying. Our hearts become closed. So He says we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. The second part that's very important in terms of having the Word of God be effective in our lives is to receive it. That's what He says in verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. If you're listening to the Word of God, there's a few other steps to making the Word of God a part of your life, receiving it. And the several things that He said, the first thing that He says in this list is you got to get rid of all the moral impurities in your life so that you can hear. You got to get the dirt out of your ears, so to speak, to be able to hear it. You can see how James here is very much in tune with his half-brother Jesus. Jesus taught the parable of the soils and how the Word of God was sown. And that Word of God went into all the various kinds of soils, and some it was clogged with rocks, and so it could grow up for a little while, but then it was burned and away. It fell on the pathway, and the devil took it up. It fell into soil with lots of weeds. And when the weeds and the cares and the worries of this world and the allure of this world grew up, it choked the seed, and it didn't produce fruit. So James here, following along with that same idea, is saying, you know, when you and I come to the Word, one of the things we have to do is we have to pull the weeds up. We have to clear the ground so the seed can settle in and take root. Soil preparation of our hearts. If we're cherishing a sin, if we're involved in a sin, we will not hear God's rebuke. If we have a plan in our mind that we're going to carry out no matter what, then we won't hear God's wisdom and how we might need to manage that. If we're having struggles in our life, we won't hear God if there are things and cares and worries that are in the way. So James says, we have to prepare the soil. We have to get rid of those things that are going to that choke out the truth of God's Word. And the second thing that he says, and we need to receive with meekness the Word that's presented to us. God knows better than me, and I can receive that. It's the temper of spirit in which we accept God, His truth, His dealings with us without disputing, without putting up a fight. Are we those kind of listeners to God's Word? Can the Word take root in us? Are we willing to receive it? Calvin says it's a mind disposed to learn. The unbelieving critics, that's their problem. They sit in judgment over God's Word instead of sitting under God's Word. And we need to take that role of sitting under God's Word. He says, the thing that you're to receive is the implanted Word. When you became a Christian, God planted His truth in your life. The Word of truth gave you new birth. And the agent of your Christian life was the Word of God. And the agent of your growing is the implanted Word. The way it's described there, it's deeply planted in you. It's within you. The planted Word, the Word that you have as the promoter of life in you, is what you're to receive. And the result is that you will experience the salvation of your souls. And salvation here has more than just the redemption of an eternal life. It has the wholeness of our entire being. See, the Word of God has an impact on all of our life. It gives us peace. It gives us joy. It gives us hope. Even when things around us and our circumstances say the opposite. God wants His Word to have the impact in your life of transforming your life into a complete and wonderful whole. But to get there, you have to listen. Are you a listener to the Word of God? Are you quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to get angry? Do you do that hard work of soil preparation, repenting of sin, getting away from those things that will clog your hearing? And do you receive that word with meekness, knowing the Lord is the one who is all wise and your loving Father and brings His truth to you? May you and I be true hearers of God's word and experience the redemption of our entire lives for His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the word that you've given to us, the living word of Christ. We thank you for the truth in the pages of this book that we read and hear preached. I pray that you would, in the coming year, make us all true hearers of your word, that we would be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to become angry, that we would get rid of all those things that clog our hearing and receive with humility your word of truth. May we be true hearers of your word and experience the rich blessings of your grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's my privilege.